Hey, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok, and today is Tuesday, June 27th. At least I believe that's what it is, unless I'm living in an alternate universe, which I might just be. I don't know. I hope everybody is okay achieving their dream, their rather modest dream of coming to Thailand, or if they're living here already, they're having a good time. What did I want to talk about? There's a few things. First of all, I wanted to talk about, you know, what it takes when you come here as a retiree, or as somebody who is working minimally. Because I think that definitely is something that some people might struggle with. If they come here and they're retired, and it seems great. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to get myself a young girlfriend, and I'm going to hang out at the beach, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. You know, the bottom line is, unless you're hanging out at the bar all the time, and, you know, you're drunk, to me, it would seem that that leaves a little something to desire in life. And that's rather important. The other thing that I wanted to talk about was, so basically that's just staying busy in Thailand, whether you're retired or not, it doesn't matter. Because it's something that, you know, eventually most people burn out on the bar scene, hanging out, you know, just chilling at the bar all the time, or you know, running around chasing women. Most people get tired of that, and they don't do it every night. It's not like when you're on holiday and you just, you know, you got a limited amount of time, and you're like, I'm going to party my ass off, and then I'm going to go home. When you live here, it's a different story. And like I always say, living here and visiting are entirely different. So staying busy, that's one thing. The other thing is about how I always hear how American women are so self-entitled. And it makes me kind of wonder, you know, because, listen, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's not like I had periods of time when I was going, God, you know, I wish I could find somebody. It's not like I didn't ever have those times. Of course I did. I had times when I was going, damn, you know, where am I ever going to find a good woman? I mean, what's going on? And I thought about it. I lived with three women in my life before I moved to Thailand. Let's see. I lived with one for about 2 years. I lived with another for about three. And I lived with another for about three or four. And they were all, you know, they were all fairly good women. They were decent women. They all had jobs. They worked. They seemed to like me for the most part. We had fairly good relationships the majority of the time. One of the women liked to drink a lot, and that got to be a problem, and I ended up dumping her because of it. And she wasn't the kind who liked to drink and was, you know, a little tipsy and she went to sleep. She was the kind who would drink and she would reek of booze. Even after two beers, she would just completely reek. It was like it permeated all of her pores. And it got too much for me. She was an angry drunk. She was just, perpetually angry when she was drunk, and she liked to get drunk almost every weekend, you know. So that didn't work, and that was just something that I didn't really want. But I can't say that any of these women, would I consider them self-entitled? Maybe one of them was a little bit like that. But, you know, I think times are changing. And it's not just here, but it's around the world. You know, a lot of time, here's the thing. What are you going to do? You know, in the old days, and I'm talking about, say, 150 years ago, women, their role was clearly defined because, for the most part, they weren't physically capable of doing the work on the farm or, you know, whatever it might be. You know, maybe they ran a bar or something like that. But for the most part, the physical labor was done by the men, and the men took care of their women, and maybe the women earned money on the side, watching kids or being a school teacher or something like that. But now it's so that, in, at least in the Western world, it's so that women, I don't believe, I could be wrong, but I think for the most part, women do not go into school, and I'm talking about high school. They don't go to high school and decide they're going to go to college because they want some man to take care of them and they're not going to do anything with their degree. That's not how it works. And I got some guy who, and the guy's a fucking jerk off, and he knows who he is. I've always thought he's a jerk off. And, you know, I don't give a shit if he thinks any less of me or he thinks I'm a dick or I'm an idiot. I really don't care because I think he's a fucking jerk off. And he's always been like that. He said something to the effect that women who stay at home are more pleasant, and he would rather have a stay at home wife. I said, yeah, okay, I understand that, but what you're saying is that a woman who works can't be an extremely pleasant woman, or they tend to be less pleasant than women who stay at home. And you know, listen. It's not that I disagree with the premise that somebody is staying home is generally going to be more pleasant than someone who is stressed out at work or something like that. But there are a lot of people that enjoy their jobs, and there are some people that, of course, that hate their jobs. But that's not the point. The point is that if someone is staying home all the time, so if a man stays home, he's going to be less stressed out. As long as he got money coming in, a man is going to be less stressed out than he would be if he was working. So what the fuck is the difference? The difference is that this particular guy, I believe, what he wants is he wants the woman under his thumb. And you see, I look at it a little bit differently than he does and than some guys do. I look at it like, it's okay, I understand. Listen, in the beginning, when my kids were first born, I asked my wife. Well, for the first year or two, she had graduated from school and she was just really busy with the kids. They were born a year and a half apart or something. So for about the first 3 years, she was really, really busy taking care of them because I was busy running around the world. I was doing a lot of photography, and I was writing, and then I was working in the boxing business, and so I was not home all the time. So we needed her to be home to watch the kids. Now, when a child is first born, first of all, I think it's good that the woman or the man can stay home and bond with the kids. I think that that's something that because there are families now, entire families working, the children probably don't get to bond as well as they would if the parents are staying home, one of the parents at least. So for the first couple of years, it was great. Then after a while, she was like, listen, you know, they're getting older. I want to do something with my life. I got a degree. What am I going to do all my life? I'm going to stay home and just be a housewife. And, you know, it's great if you can take care of me. And you know, it's like I have a schedule where I'm going to go and I'm going to go do yoga on Monday. And then I'm going to go to the gym. And then I'm going to come home and I'm going to feed the kids and I'm going to feed you. But, you know, it wasn't really like that. That's not how it works. And especially in Bangkok, where... I mean, I'll be honest. I don't even like going out sometimes just because I don't want to deal with the fucking traffic. I don't want to deal with people. I don't want to deal with traffic. I don't know what's happened to me over the last couple of years where I've just kind of gotten more antisocial. And I don't mean it in a way where I'm antisocial with everybody, but I just don't feel like being around people. I don't feel like being around a lot of noise. I feel like being into myself. And even when I'm taking photos, I don't particularly like to go places with people and then do my photography and, you know, look for photos and things like that. I almost feel like there's people in my space. So what happened was I was working in boxing as a journalist and also, you know, in the boxing industry. I was working as a coordinator and a matchmaker, and I did some training and stuff like that. But, you know, we had enough money to make ends meet and to have enough left over to where we were comfortable. But my wife was like, I want to work. I want to do something with my life, you know. And I'm like, hey, okay, fine. If you want to do that, that's no problem. And I would say that there's a trade-off, because I have never really had a job for the past, say, 30 years. I don't know, not 30, I'd say 20, 24 years. 23 years, I guess. 23, 24 years. I have not... Oh, shit. I spilled some water here. What's the deal? Oh, no. Okay. Wow. We have a leaky roof that we had fixed, and now it's starting to leak again. And I put this bucket underneath it so that if it rains when I'm gone and if it starts leaking, that the bucket would catch the water. And I have a bottle of water sitting, it's next to where the bucket is. And I knocked the bottle over, and I thought that I had spilled the water. The water had came out on the floor. Instead, what I did was I had put my foot inside of the bucket, and it was a little bit wet. Anyway, so that's what happened there. But so, you know, my wife wanted to work, so she started working. Now, fortunately, I've never had a job for the last, say, 24 years where I've had to go to work at a certain time, had to stay until this time. I've always had work where I could schedule, and even at that job, I would say probably for 3 years, although I needed to be at the office quite a bit. Getting twisted up here. I needed to be at the office quite a bit, but I had the freedom to take off if I wanted to. Okay, so it's been a long time since I've had to like go in and work a regular job where I go in at, you know, 8 o'clock and I'm off at 5 and I've got lunch at 12. It's been a long time, and I never did like that. Now, for the guy who's doing that, if he wants his girl to stay home, I don't see any problem with it. I just have a problem where a guy says, oh, well, you know, the women are more pleasant when they're staying home all day. And that's not always true, because I know some women, and I know how my wife couldn't get if she's home all the time and she's not doing anything, or she's, like, thinking about where to go and what to do. It gets boring sometimes. Sometimes you're like, I just don't want to go out. But you're like, I don't want to go out, but I don't really want to watch TV. And I'm not in the mood to read a book. And, well, what am I going to do? I guess I should clean. Well, I guess I'll do, you know. And I have that feeling, too, now sometimes. Because, like I said, I just don't, I've never had to do anything. Even when I worked in boxing, I mean, for the most part, I made my own schedule. We had a training time. In the afternoon, and I was, I'd say, you know, 99 out of 100 times, I was there because I wanted to be. But if I didn't show up for some reason, all I had to do was say something. Hey, I'm not going to be there today. And that would be it. But so the point is that, you know, I'm in a position where, like, my wife works, and she comes home, and, yeah, she's tired sometimes. And, you know, listen, I mean, but people get tired even when they're home. So, you know, it's not a big deal to us. And, you know, we've been together for a long time. Now, this guy kind of got, he was kind of a smart ass. And he said some, oh, yeah, you know you hit the jackpot. We all know that already. Listen, I didn't hit the fucking jackpot. And this is the thing. I set my fucking life up how I wanted to live. Okay. Now, are there times when I wish that maybe I worked a regular job to where I never had to worry about when the money was coming in or how much money was coming in or would I earn any interest or anything like this? Of course. But you know what? That's the trade-off. You get freedom for that risk. And, you know, it really bugs me that some people think that, like, I was lucky or that, you know, oh, your wife works and so what? I worked. For a long time I worked. And I worked my ass off. Okay? And you know what? Sometimes I think to myself, I got people, how many people have I fucking helped on the internet? I set out just to help people. I didn't care about making any money. And honestly, I don't want to help people for money. I don't want to say, oh, I want to help you and I want to make money. What it should be, in it, I think personally, what it should be is I help people and maybe they do something nice once in a while because I'm not in a position financially where I can meet all my goals. That I, they help me, it should be a win-win situation for both people, whether it's financial or otherwise. It doesn't have to be financial. But Jesus Christ, I get guys writing me, they act like I owe them a favor. You know, it's because I live here, I owe them a fucking favor. You know, and I just never feel that way. And to be completely honest, I've been saying for a long time that these fucking chowderhead videos, all right, I gotta say this, okay? These chowderhead videos, I've been saying, oh, I'm not going to do them anymore. I'm not going to do them anymore. I'm not going to do them anymore. And I've slowed down. Okay. And every once in a while, I throw them in there. And guys are like, oh, I got some guy. And he's like, oh, you know, these people are writing you these letters just to get you to do this. And first of all, I know that there are quite a few people who are legitimately in despair. I know because I've either talked to him on the phone, I've talked to him on Skype, I've talked to him online or whatever, or they've sent me 20 letters and I've read one or two of their letters. So, you know, there are some who they definitely need help. And then there are some who, yeah, I admit it, you know, they're just fucking with me or they're just trying to see if I'll read their letter or whatever. And okay, fine. Part of it's entertainment. Part of it is to help people. But you know what? Some guy the other day wrote that, yeah, this is what you're born to do or something like that. And to me, that's so fucking insulting. Because, first of all, I think that most of the guys who write me, if they are in genuine despair or they genuinely have a problem, I don't necessarily think that they're idiots. Okay? They may be making idiotic decisions, but that doesn't necessarily make them an idiot because everybody does stupid things at one time or another. But I'm not a therapist, I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, and I'm just some dude. You know, and yes, I've had far more experiences with women than people might think. Far more. Believe me. Okay, my wife knows about this, and, you know, my friends know, they know how I am, and, you know, listen, I've had my own issues with women, when I was younger, and back in the United States, not so much in Thailand, because, you know, I always was of the mentality that if some chick dumped you, or you had a problem with a girl, and you couldn't be with her, or something happened, and go to the next one. There's always going to be somebody around. It's a big city. Bangkok is a big city, but Thailand, you know, it's a big country. I mean, it's big enough to where there's plenty of women that are available. So I never really worried about it. Now, back in the U.S., I used to think, oh, man, am I ever going to meet somebody? And I meet some girls, and, you know, one girl I was with, she smoked. And I have never smoked. Well, I smoked weed, but I've never smoked cigarettes, and she was a cigarette smoker. And, you know, I let it go. But you know what? That's one of those deal breakers for me. I can't be with somebody who smokes. And after a while, it really started bugging me, and I let it go. And finally, I just went, God damn it, are you ever going to stop smoking? I mean, what the fuck, man? You know it's bad for you. You know it's horrible for you. It ain't good for you. So, are you going to stop? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I can stop. Then it was the whole Pepsi thing. She had to drink, you know, 2 liters of Pepsi a fucking day. And, you know, she was a decent-looking girl. She was nice. She was cute. Had a nice body on her. But I was like, how long do you think your body's going to stay the way it is when you're drinking 2 liters of fucking Pepsi every goddamn day? You know. That was another one. That was one of the girls that I lived with. back in the U.S. And she basically had a large sum of money in the bank. She would come home whining about how she hated her job. And I said, well, you got plenty of money. You know, why don't you do something that makes you happy? Take a month off. You know, spend like $3,000, $4,000. You know, I'll spend a little money. We'll go for a couple of weeks. We'll go for a week or so, and we'll go to Vegas. We'll have a little relaxation time. We'll go to the river or whatever. Or, you know, we'll hang out by the pool. We'll do this. We'll do that. You know, when I can, I'll do it. I was working at the time. And she's like, yeah, yeah, it's a good idea. Well, she took a fucking year off and blew almost all of her money. And then she was desperate to find a job. Well, she could find a job. But I was like, the idea is that you take a month off and then you make it your job to look for the job that you think you want. That's a job that's going to make you happy to go to. And that's the idea. Set yourself up in a position, whether it's you're earning interest from some kind of income, whether you're getting dividends, whether you're renting out a piece of land or a condo or something, an apartment, a house, whatever it is, and you're earning money that way, set yourself up. Because, you see, that's the whole concept, is that you are responsible. I always say this, and you're responsible for your own actions, and you know, people are responsible for the life that they live. Now, I'll be completely honest. I'm not very happy with making chowderhead videos, and I was just thinking to myself today. I keep saying it. I'm not going to do them. I'm not going to do them. And you know, the thing is that some people will piss me off when they'll write, oh, you're born to do this shit, you know, it's funny, I'm rolling on the floor, and that kind of thing. But see, I don't give a fuck about that, honestly. I mean, you know, it's great that I make people laugh. Okay, great. But really what I want is, and I've said this many times, is I want to make it, as a photographer, selling like fine art prints, and I've done that before. And I, you know, that's how I make money now too. That's one of the ways. What the whole thing is, I'd like to be able to just write and shoot photos, and that's all I do. And the videos, you know, I like making a good video, of course, but I like making videos like the cooking. What is it? The cooking class video I made. The video I made from. Banbat. Some of the vlogs that I've done. I prefer doing videos like that. I would prefer to do one video a week or even one or two a month that were, you know, like a 45-minute project, like a documentary. I would prefer to do that than to do any Chowderhead videos, quite honestly. Because I've had it. I've really had it. I mean, I just can't do this shit anymore because, first of all, I've never thought, just to be clear, I've never thought that I was fucking out. Okay? I mean, oh shit. Let's see if this, what happens here. All right. Seems to be working. I've never thought that I was, you know, Albert Einstein. And I never really thought that I was somebody that was so fucking intelligent that I was head and shoulders above anybody else. But I do have common sense. I have learned a few things over the years. I've been in many, many situations around the world, not just in Thailand, not just in Florida or in California, but around the world. And, you know, I don't think that I'm a dummy. I'll put it that way. I think I'm moderately intelligent. And yet, it seems to me that there are a hell of a lot of foolish people. There's some stupid people out there too, of course. And, you know, I mean, like, I look at the way that the U.S. Political situation is right now, and all I can do is shake my fucking head. Because it doesn't seem like anything is ever going to change. And I always think to myself, aren't we supposed to be civilized? I mean, you know, really. And it's like, it's all about the power. It's all about, and I understand what it's like to be in charge or to have some power. But Jesus Christ, I mean, you know, do you have to kill people? Do you have to protest all the time? Do you have to fucking go berserk over certain things? I mean, it just boggles my mind. And then I got these idiots writing me. Some of these people are fucking idiots, I'll admit it. Some people are genuinely distraught and they don't know what to do, and it's because of inexperience or the cultural difference or whatever you want to say. Some people are trolls, or they're just, you know, trying to get a rise out of me or to see if I'll do a video about their letter. But there are still a lot of dummies. And I don't like being surrounded by dummies, and that's kind of how I feel. You know, I mean, and, you know, I got a message from some fucking guy from, I don't know where it was. He was Sweden, or I think he was Danish or something. And he wrote me that he was unsubscribing from my channel because I seem to really like U.S. military people. Well, what the fuck does he expect? What does he expect me to do? I've been in the military. A lot of my friends are ex-military. You know, if the president of the United States says, you need to go fight and you're in the military, guess what? You don't have a fucking choice. You need to go and defend your country or whatever it might be that you're going to do. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of people who judge the people who are soldiers when they ain't done shit. Some of these people haven't done jack shit to help the government or to help their country. They haven't done anything. And yet they have the right to call the kettle black. I mean, it's like, what did I just hear today? It's like, oh, yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people, a lot of millennials, who are whining and crying about the government and how we need to fix this and we need to fix that. And, oh, I know where it was from, Jordan Peterson, a guy named Jordan Peterson. I just heard of the guy. And he said something like, you're fucking 18 or 20 years old. What do you know about the economy? You don't know shit. And then here you are talking about how the government needs to do this, the government needs to do that. And for the most part, somebody between 18 and 22 is not mature enough to know really about the ways of the world. They might think they know, they might know a little bit, but they're not mature enough. It's shit. It's hard enough for somebody who's older. That's why presidents don't tend to be guys who are 19 years old. They tend to be experienced, older, somewhat wiser, at least in some cases, people. So, I have a hard time dealing with stupidity. And so when I get these messages, it's, I don't want to say that it's disappointing, because you know what? For the most part, my life is pretty much on track. I mean, there are things that I want to do that I haven't done that I'm working towards, or you know, I have my own issues where sometimes I don't feel like I'm working hard enough for some things if I really want them, and you know, that kind of thing. But for the most part, I like my life. I mean, I'm lucky. I have a good family. I have great kids. You know. You know, we're comfortable, and for the most part, I do what I want with my life, which is more than a lot of people can say. So when I get letters from some fucking guy who's like, should I come over to Thailand and go be with this girl, because I don't know what I'm going to do, it's like, Jesus fucking Christ, do you not have anything else in the world to live for? I mean, seriously. I understand what it's like to be with a hot chick and with, you know, what love is, and to be, you know, to miss a person so much that you can't stand not talking to them or seeing them. I understand all these things. I've been there. You know, I mean, yeah, it's like, yeah, I may be older, but like, you know, it's not like I've never been in love. It's not like I don't love my wife. And it's not like I haven't been away from her at certain times when we're, you know, we're calling each other or telling each other we miss each other and, you know, be good to be back home and, you know, that kind of thing. But, I mean, some of these guys, they don't even fucking meet the woman. They've never even met them. They don't even meet the fucking girl. And then they're complaining because they're worried about if she's all that. It's like, who gives a fuck? If you got the money, come over here, see the chick, bang her, don't bang her, have a little fun, go somewhere else without her. Don't make the whole trip about her. You know, that's the whole thing. If I had one thing to do over in my life, I would make sure that I lived for myself 100% of the time, not for some woman. It's, you know, you can live, when I say live 100% for myself, what I mean is that you're with someone who wants to do the things that you do, who understands when you need to be alone, who understands when you want to be with them. So, you know, I don't necessarily, maybe, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, as 100%, but, you know, you've got to give some time to your partner, and I personally need time to myself. Now, you know, but some of these guys, they want to come over here. They don't even fucking know the girl. I mean, the one guy, I think, I don't know if this is a video from the past or video coming up or whatever. So I got a couple more coming up. But this fucking guy is like, yeah, yeah, you know, I'm going to go over and I want to go see this girl. And we're already in love and we're talking marriage. He's seen her one fucking time. And I don't know, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, sometimes it'll work, but I just think that it's like, what the fuck is the hurry? Live your life, man. Have a good time. You know, if you're a photographer, go out and take photos. You know, if you're a doctor, work. Have your fun. Go out on the weekends. Go fishing. Go with a couple of buddies. You know, you need a little pussy once in a while, you know, come on over to Thailand, whatever. I mean, do whatever you got to do. But to give oneself, I don't know. I mean, because for me, I have you know, my wife knows this and my family knows this, but you know, like, I'm my own person and I always will be, with or without a woman. It doesn't fucking matter. I want to be me. You know what I mean? Like, there are guys who hook up with some chick and then it's all about the living for the chick. What the fuck is that? That's part of the problem why men in the United States are such fucking pussies. At least some of them. And I'm not talking about all of them. So let's get that straight. But there's a lot of men that they are so fucking pussy whipped. And they put the women up on a fucking pedestal. And then they wonder why they fucking get shit on all the time. Or why the women are so self-entitled. I don't know, but, you know, I mean, like, self-entitled to me means, like, some prissy bitch who sits on her ass and she expects you to provide everything and she doesn't want to do anything except open her fucking snatch. Because here's the deal. Once she opens her snatch and you blow your load, then what? What good is she then if that's all she wants? She's a fucking anchor. I mean, I don't care how good the pussy is. It doesn't matter. She's a fucking anchor. She's dead weight, man. Fuck her and leave her. Say, bye-bye, honey. I mean, you know, it's like, you ever wonder why guys dump chicks like Carmen Electra or Pamela Sue Anderson? Because, fuck, after a while, they probably figure the fucking chick, she's not the kind of chick I want to be with. I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't care how good that pussy is. You know, and it's not like I've never had any pussy in my life. I've never got laid or I've never had a hot chick. You know, it's not like that. But I think the guys who just go, and you know, the thing is, maybe the reason that I always got laid, at least fairly regularly, is because I never fucking had a problem saying to some chick, I don't give a fuck what you, how good your pussy is. I don't give a shit if you fuck, just fucking blow me. You know, I mean, I used to date a chick back. What was I doing at the time? Oh, I had just started in printing, and I met her through a friend, and we hung out at the beach, and I thought she was really cute, and she was she's born in the U.S. to a Dutch Indonesian family, and she was a good-looking girl, beautiful, beautiful breasts, perfect breasts, and it took me a couple times of going out with her, and finally I slept with her, and it was okay. It was, you know, I don't know, she's a little shy, but she wasn't all that shy, but she was shy enough to where she didn't want to let it all hang out. And, you know, eventually we started seeing each other for regularly. We were never really boyfriend and girlfriend, but we were always close. We always had a good time together. And this is a girl who I just found out that I think about four or five years ago, she died. And I've been trying to find out how she died for a couple of years now, because I have two theories. One is from some kind of a drug overdose, because you know, she used to dabble in the coke a little bit. I don't know, maybe that was it. But the other was that she was a terrible driver and that maybe she had an accident, you know. And I've never been able to find out, and it's always been something I've wanted to find out. But that's neither here nor there. You know, she was the kind of chick who, she didn't put up with any shit from me. And I didn't put up with any shit from her. Ever. You know, I mean, she was not the kind of chick who was going to come banging on my door going, "Hey, what are you doing? Where are you busy?" You know, it was, there was none of that shit. And I mean, I remember, you know, contacting her in the middle of the day once and just saying, "All right, you know what, listen, I'm horny, I want to come over and see you. Are you off of work today?" And she's like, "Oh, yeah." I'm like, "Well, then I'm coming over." And she was so in shock, because I had never been that straight with her, straightforward with her, and just told her how I was going to, what was going to happen. And I went over, we did our thing, you know, everything was good. And later on, she told me, she said, "You know, that really turned me on. You took control. You weren't gonna, it wasn't that you were asking me, you were telling me. This is how it's going to be, honey." You know, and I think guys come here, they get lulled, and they become a little complacent with Thai women. Because they think, you know, "Oh, well, this is the Thai way. This is how it's done here." Or she said that I need to do that. We're already talking about the fucking dowry, and you've only been going out with her for 2 months, and you've only seen her for like a week. Going out with her for 2 months. What I mean is you've been talking to her for 2 months. Okay? Now, getting back to this whole thing about women at home, what I see, and, you know, to each his own, all right? But what I see a lot of is I see a lot of foreign guys ending up with Isan women, or women who, they're Isaners, but they're bar girls. And, you know, nothing against Isan chicks, because I've dated Isan girls before. And, you know, for the most part, the ones that I was with were quite good. You know, they were honest and straightforward. They were decent chicks, you know. But, you know, a lot of times the girls, they didn't, in my case, a couple of them didn't really have great educations, and that ended up being a problem for me, because I felt like I didn't want to have to fucking teach some chick, you know, everything. I wanted a girl who either had a little worldliness to her, or picked things up really, really fast. She was extremely sharp. And I think that's what happens, is a lot of guys, if they hook up with some whore, some hua, they hook up with some fucking whore. Well, her idea of an ideal situation is having some guy who takes care of her. The guy makes all the money, and she does whatever she wants, whether that's clean the house, whether it's her going over to see her friends and stuff like that. In the meantime, she's, I mean, to me, what's she bringing to the table? Her pussy? Big fucking deal. There's pussy all over the place. You know, so for me, the whole thing was, I looked at it at one, there was a point that came when I said, "What the fuck am I doing?" I mean, you hang out with a bunch of whores, or you're hanging out with girls who are generally relatively uneducated, or they're never going to really make a great life for themselves. And, you know, that's okay, that happens, you know, but, I mean, you know, shit happens in life. But if you're looking for a woman, why would you go to a bar, or why would you go and get somebody who is in need of you? In other words, what you really want is you want a girl who wants you but doesn't fucking need you. I think that's a huge difference. And I think that some guys might take that the wrong way, And frankly, I don't give a fuck. But I think the truth is what it is. In the U.S., people don't even, for the most part, guys are like, they got a girlfriend and the girl wants to be with them. And if the girl doesn't really want to be with him, eventually she will break up with him, she will cheat on him, she will leave him. Okay? It's not to say that that can't happen here, it doesn't happen the same way, but I think for the most part, if a chick is with a guy here and he's paying her good money, she might stick around and she's going to be like, hey, whatever. And I think those type of relationships, those relationships where a guy meets some poor girl and she, I no money, mama, papa, no money. I cannot pay for farm. I cannot pay for buffalo. What can I do? Oh, I go work Pattaya. That kind of a chick. I'm sorry, but have some fucking aspiration. Go after a chick with half a fucking brain who's got an education. Finishes high school and she's sharp and she's a fucking go-getter and she wants to make a good life for herself. She doesn't need a fucking man. I don't want somebody that needs me. Jesus Christ, I got two fucking kids. If I wanted a third fucking kid, I would have one. So that's the situation, I think. And I think that's what irritates me so much is I look at it that way. And to me, that seems like an intelligent way to be. Get a woman who wants to be with you. For the most part, she doesn't need to be with you. She doesn't need you because you're taking care of her. Now, that's not always to say that some woman who's with you and you're taking care of her and, providing for her and all that kind of thing, that she needs you and can't make it on her own. But why the fuck would a smart woman nowadays finish high school, go to a university or go to a trade school, whatever it might be, continue her education, or try to make a career for herself where she really makes a substantial salary or income and can take good care of herself and have a good life. I'm not talking about some chick who lives in a fucking 3,000 baht or 2,500 baht a month apartment with a girlfriend, and she buys food every day and she spends 100 baht on food. I'm not talking about a chick like that. I'm talking about a chick like who's got a car, who owns her own fucking condo, or who is saving to buy a condo or something like that, and who she has goals in her life. She wants to take this test or that test so that she can further her career, or she knows that she can get a promotion if she meets these quotas or whatever it might be. To me, that's the kind of woman you want to go after. Because, I don't know. It's like, if you're fucking, I'm going to put it to you this way. If you're a piece of shit, you're fucking, some guy who's done nothing but fuck up your whole life, and all you do is work at McDonald's. That's you're fucking 45 years old, and the only job you can get is working at McDonald's at, podunk fucking Iowa. How many women are going to look at you as a catch? Not many. Although there might be some women who are 40 years old and got two kids, and she's got a halfway decent job, and she needs a man. She's overweight. And she's, not very attractive. And you're going, shit, man, I can't get no 20-year-olds. That's out. What are you going to do? Most guys will go, I guess I'll take the best option. So why put yourself in that fucking predicament in the first place? And here's the thing. I'm older now. I got lucky. I got lucky, really, because I never hooked up for the long term and got married when I was young. I waited and waited and waited. And what was I? I was 35 when I got married legally. 36, something like that. So it pays to wait, first of all, instead of just going, oh my God, let's get married. Because most marriages that start when you're like 18 years old, at least in the West, they end in failure because people change over the years. But once you've stabilized your life and you've stabilized your career and you've gotten to know a person for a couple of years, Well, then, you know, it's like, maybe you're going to do some things that might be out of the ordinary once in a while, but for the most part, you are who you are. You're not going to be some 20-year-old guy who, you know, goes through a life change at 32 and decides you want to start doing coke, or you know, you want a girl with big tits, not little tits, and you start fucking around with your wife and you got three kids with her or something. I don't know. I'm just making shit up as I go on the fly, but I think you get the idea. So that's, you know, this whole thing about self-entitlement, I think, first of all, listen, if a guy's got his shit going on, women are going to want you. For the most part. If you got your shit going on, if you're a successful person, you got a halfway decent attitude, and you know, you take decent care of yourself. It seems to me that these guys are the ones who are getting married. These are the guys who got girlfriends back in the States. And all the other guys are the ones who are bitching and moaning about how women are shit. And I get these fucking guys from, these MGTOW guys fucking telling me all the time how, ah, fuck, I don't need women. Oh, really? Yeah, it's good you don't need them, but you sure in the fuck want them. So, I mean, you know, I'm sure there's a certain type of vibe, and I don't even think about it anymore. I mean, really, I don't, because I love my wife, and, you know, my wife, you know, seems to love me for whatever reason. I don't even think of it. And, you know, I got a message, when was it? Yesterday, I guess, from a guy who asked me if my kids and my wife watch my videos. And, you know, to be truthful, they don't usually watch my videos having to do with some dumbass or some guy who is distraught. They don't watch those kind of videos most of the time. Any other kind of video, when I'm out and about, when I'm doing something about Thailand, they almost always watch them. Now, the guy's point was, oh, do they always watch them? Because I'd really like you to do a video about, you know, guys like who are married and, you know, they fuck around on their wives and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, listen. You know, I did my running around. I did that in the past. You know, when I first started seeing my wife, you know, it was like I was seeing all kinds of women. And finally, she got pissed. You know, she said, what kind of relationship are we going to have? She said, I don't know what you think, but this is not normal, what you think. And I really believed that it was normal. And it's not. You know, there are some women, Thai women, who they tolerate their guy going to a massage parlor or something like that because the man's not involved in a relationship. Maybe he needs a little relief. Maybe he wants a little something different. And women will allow that. Okay? But, you know, don't let him catch you. Don't let him know unless they've specifically said it's okay with me. And even then, you don't want him to know. But, you know, I have no desire for any of that shit. I mean, I have other aspirations in life because I'm happy with my wife. I'm happy with my life with her and with my kids. So there's no way in hell I'm going to do a video like that. And that's why I never go down to, you know, I never go down to Soy Cowboy, and I don't go down to Pat Pong and Nana and all these other places. I don't go there because I don't want to fucking be around that shit. Because I don't give a fuck. I don't give a shit if some chick is hot as fuck. You know, for fucking 2 minutes, she's like smiling at me or something. Yeah, okay, great. Now what? What, she's going to blow me? Okay, so she's going to blow me. I'm going to ruin my marriage? I'm going to fuck up my marriage and, you know, piss off my wife and hurt my wife? It's just not what I want to be. It's not what I'm about. You know, so some people might have the wrong idea about me. What I am most into, besides my family, and by family I mean my family back home in the States, my mother, my father, my sister, but also I mean, of course, my close family, my wife and my two kids. I care about this. That's what I care about first. I don't give a shit about anything else. I mean, when it comes down to it, they come first, and I believe that's how it should be. You know, blood before, you know, blood is thicker than water. So I think that's important. And, you know, as far as everything else, I have my own goals in life. And that's what I want to attain, and I have things that I'd like to see my kids do, and that maybe I need to help them financially or some other way to help them attain some of their goals. So, you know, I think honestly, if there's a really good letter that comes in from a guy who needs some help with a woman, that's one thing. But just this, the whole chowderhead thing, I rarely ever say the word chowderhead. I almost never use it. The only reason I used it was because on that particular day when I first started saying it, I think I, instead of saying chucklehead or bonehead or knucklehead or, schmecklehead, for some reason I said chowderhead. I don't know why. And that stuck. But I in day-to-day use, I mean, I can't remember the last time I've said that. Maybe when my mother asked me, what's a chowderhead? You know, so the days of the chowderhead videos are coming to an end, because I prefer to make the videos about cultural things, about, you know, mini documentaries, little short 5-minute documentaries, or something that people get something out of aside from getting a laugh. Or, and the other thing is that I don't necessarily enjoy giving people shit. Sometimes, you know, it's, I'll admit it, sometimes if the guy's really stupid, it's like, oh, what the fuck, you idiot, you know. But at the end of the day, I'd prefer I didn't have to. I mean, you know, like, I like being around intelligent people. I don't like being around idiots. I don't like it. I don't want to have anything to do with it. And you know, I've got to the point now in really about the last 2 years or so, and I've talked about this before, where I don't want to be around people. I only want to be around my friends, my family, and some people that maybe they want to meet me, or, you know, like people who are my members or my Patreon patrons or something like that. Or people that are my friends from back in the States and they want to come over here or something like that. Generally, I will meet with people and hang out with people because I enjoy the time with them. But if I start feeling like I don't enjoy time with somebody, I don't want to be around them. I'd rather be alone. I'd rather be fucking, you know, working on something. I'd rather be editing a photo or something, or writing my next book. Which, by the way, I have started working on it. I've got 3 books coming in the next, it may be in the next 3 years. I don't know. Hopefully, I'll get one done in the next 6 months, 4 to 6 months. That's my goal. But if you haven't already picked up my books, I got one book. It's called They Call Me Farang. And I got another book called Ask Me Anything, Letters from Farang, which basically goes into depth. They're in-depth letters from the people who I've done videos about, for, who I've talked about, and both are available on Amazon. You can just search my name, or you can go to theycallmefarang.com, and you can get them right through that website. And They Call Me Farang is available in an audio version. They're all available in Kindle and print formats. You got to think sometimes. Now, I talked about it before, but you know what? I'm thinking of starting a second channel, and I could really use some help. I asked people, some of my members, I asked them, hey, if there were 3 things that you'd like to see me start doing regularly, what is it you'd want to see me do? You know, you want to see me do more photo shoots. You want to see me filming or taking video footage of people cooking, or what is it? Not, I want to see a video, I want you to talk about, you know, insurance. I mean, I've already done shit like that, first of all. But second of all, I'm not talking about making a specific video. I'm talking about changes in the way that I film things, or talk about subjects. You know, do you want to have subjects like, well, I don't know, because I'm not talking about the Thai government. I'm not talking about the monarchy. I'm not talking about the government. Whatever it might be, though, aside from a few topics that are off limits. And the other thing is that I've been thinking about starting a second channel. I don't know, because I don't have enough time as it is. And to be quite honest, what I really would like to do is concentrate more on my photography. I always say this. Write my books, concentrate on my photography, and only make videos that are high-quality videos that I'm proud of and that people go, wow, I really enjoyed that. A lot of people said that about that cooking video I did. I think that with a few tools, hopefully, that I'm going to buy, and I've been buying some, but some of them are expensive. Like, you know, I want to get one of those drones. Which one is it? The Spark? The new one. It's like the size of a fucking big cellular phone. I want to get one of those. I need a couple of cameras. I've been wanting to get this Canon G7 X2 for quite some time. I want to get a Ricoh camera, because that's a great camera to just throw in your pocket and have with you everywhere, as opposed to just having your smartphone or lugging around a larger camera, which is okay too. I've been thinking about a Konica Hexar, AF Hexar, great camera. You know, but all this shit costs money. And, you know, it's like, you know, not to belabor the point, but there's only so much to go around. And I'm extremely grateful for those people who have, in effect, sponsored me. Because without you, without those who are doing so, I wouldn't be able to buy anything. I mean, it would be really tough for me to do a lot of things. I mean, you know, it's like the other day I bought a couple of little brackets for my audio thingamajig. You know, I mean, it's not cheap, but it's not expensive. I got a couple little Y bracket thingies. Those were cheap. There's a whole bunch of stuff. I mean, if you look at like how a TV show is made and the equipment they're using, that's high end shit for the most part. But that stuff's expensive. You know, so all in due time. And I'm looking probably at something like, it may be 3 to 5 years. I may be 60 years old before I truly get a video that I'm... one of my goals is to get a video to a film festival. There's a couple of film festivals that I like to get those videos to. I'd also like to get a grant to help me film a project. But I think that that's a little ways away. And, there's a learning curve, and then there's a learning curve when you buy new equipment. And then, of course, there's the financial aspect. You got to come up with the money for the new equipment. So, you know, every time I make $300, $500, I make a couple $100 from, say, YouTube or from Patreon, all that shit helps because, for the most part, it makes sure that my bills are paid. It makes sure that my bills are paid and that I'm able to buy some equipment. Because the equipment, it's not a must. I mean, like anybody who knows anything about photography knows that there are a lot of great photographers out there who used what today is considered a shit camera. I mean, what is his name? Don McCullen. Probably my favorite photographer of all time. At least he's in the top three, but he's probably my favorite. Got to give that some thought. But he used to shoot the Nikon F1. You know, and if you look at the Nikon F1 compared to, say, the Nikon F5 or, say, F4, the difference is phenomenal. I mean, or, say, a Leica M9. The difference between that F1 and the Leica M9 or something like that is huge. So, you know, you think about the skill level that some of these people used to have that, and I mean, if you really want to, I'm going to give, you know, a tip on photography. If you want to see a fantastic photographer, okay, that is extremely good at using light, and I believe he used the Leica M3, which is, you know, 50 years old. His name is Fan Ho, F-A-N-H-O. Look up Fan Ho. There's a thing on a channel called The Art of Photography. It's like an artist profile or something like that about Fan Ho. Fantastic. I mean, absolutely phenomenal photographer. And he was limited in the amount of equipment he had. And so my point is that while I want equipment and while I need equipment, some equipment, it's not equipment that I necessarily just want. It's equipment that I truly believe I need. And so it's going to take some time to get all that stuff. And I mean, you know, I've got 10 or 15 cameras, but say 3 of them are the cameras that I can really use on a regular basis. The other ones, I can't count on them all the time, or they're not going to work in certain situations, or they're only going to work in certain situations, or there's not enough control over them because they're a really basic camera, stuff like that. So those are the ones that I let my kids use. But anyway, I think that's all I got. I don't know, you know, what else I got to say, but hopefully you got something out of this. You know, if you're just a guy coming over here and you have no real, you're not worried about women, you're not going to have any problems. Just, you know, don't become a drunk. Don't become a druggie. Manage your money well. Be smart about things. Don't, you know, go and give people a couple $100,000 baht to do shit that you barely know. And you'll be fine. It's not, like I always say, it ain't fucking rocket science. But for some reason, there's always guys willing to fuck it up. There's a sucker born every minute. So, anyway, let's see. I guess I'll see you guys next. Well, I'll talk to you guys next. Let's see if I can open this thing up here. I'll talk to you guys next week. You know, I've talked about doing a get-together, a meet-up or whatever, but I think it's really hard to get everybody together at the same time. I mean, you know, I've got probably 30 members, another 20, maybe 20 Patreon. So I got about 50 people that I'd like to meet up with. And out of those, maybe I could meet 2 or 3 at a time, if that, you know. So the problem is meeting at the same time. Now, maybe, you know, we can do something online or something where we can all talk. But, you know, I don't really want to do it on YouTube, first of all, because I don't like doing it because the quality tends to be shit. And the other thing is that you get people that are yapping and, you know, getting in the middle of things that I don't really want having any say. And I'm talking about, like, trolls. So, anyway, if you got any ideas, you got any things you want to talk about, please let me know. Oh, one other thing. I've been talking about it for a while, but I'm trying to get my office set up. I want to buy a desk. And, a desk and a new chair, and I want to have like a bookcase behind where I film, and then, you know, maybe another chair so somebody could sit in. And, you know, I'm trying to get things set up. I've got some lights. Maybe I need one more light and one more stand, but I got some lights, so I'm pretty well set up when it comes to lighting. But I am working and progressing. It may not always show, but anyway, that's all I got. I've rambled long enough. So until next time, I'm Scott. I'm an American in Bangkok. Chok D, lat, jerk and mai.